You know, we're all trying to do what the Buddha did. You know, that's what being a Buddhist is. We're walking in the footsteps of the Buddha. The fact that the Buddha found the truth, found real peace, found the unborn, doesn't mean, it doesn't do anything for us unless we follow his teaching, because that's what he gave us, is how to do it, how to free ourselves, how to deal with our defilements, with our greed, our ill will, our ignorance and delusion. Yet, and the essence of his teaching, he always said, was when they asked him, what is the teaching of all Buddhas, past Buddhas, and his teaching, he said, to cease from evil, to do good, and to purify your heart. This is the teaching of all the Buddhas. And in our tradition, we usually use the last one as do good for others, but in a way, that's another variation on purify your heart, because that's actually what stops us doing good for others, as the self gets in the way. Yet, often people look at training just too much in terms of cease from evil, and not enough in terms of do good. And the Buddha actually emphasized equally not just dealing with the bad states, but the cultivation of the positive aspects of our training. And it's actually the cultivation of the positive states, our compassion, our sympathy, our willingness, our trust, our love, that allows us to purify our heart and actually deal with the defilements. And in a way, one of the problems people often have, let's say with guilt, is that they're viewing themselves only in what they're not doing, you know, and the fact that there is still greed, and probably we all are still dealing with greed. There is ill will coming up, and probably everyone, you know, it's a normal thing. It takes very deep training not to have any ill will at all come up. And we are all dealing with ignorance. We actually don't see what's real. We get caught up in things. We're not seeing the purity of everything. And it was that line I'd like been using a lot recently, which is, the fellow in Buchenwald, when he was asked, why is he at peace? He says, if you truly see things are as they always are, which is seeing the real purity that's always there no matter what the circumstances are. And guilt, for instance, is just saying, I shouldn't be this way. And often when people get depressed, they have all this stuff that, yuck. You know, they have a lot of yuck. You know, they have lots of aspects of themselves they don't like. They see patterns they don't like. They see the fact that they're breaking the precepts and they can't seem to stop often doing something that they know isn't the best. And part of what helps isn't just trying not to do that, because that's very hard to do, because what happens when you do it? Then you feel guilty. And I think this pattern might be familiar to people, where you just keeps feeling like you keep making the same mistake over and over again, and you keep not being... Well, one way of dealing with that is that you actually have to do good. You have to be offering things that are positive in your life. You have to be giving, instead of looking at, like... Because in a way, just trying to cease from evil has a tendency to be a fairly selfish and really self-centered point of view. How am I doing? Look at me, what a failure am I. And in a way, what liberates us is the willingness to offer. We offer things to others. And it actually makes you feel better to give, to help, to show compassion, to show sympathy, to show. And we're also offering our own karma what it needs. You know, we're trying to offer it stillness and peace, which is often what we need, and we're not willing to give it. And then we feel bad. But we have to realize that we have to offer ourselves that stillness that allows us to sit in the midst of whatever's going on and find peace within it, and realize that actually is the real medicine that we're looking for. And in a way, it's kind of like we need the wholeness and rightness of goodness to give us kind of the confidence and the positive energy into relating to the darkness. You know, just like when you look at yourself, it feels a lot better if you see, I am offering something. You know, I feel crummy. I still go and meditate. I'm offering this. I'm not kind of just holding on to the darkness. Somebody needs help. I'll help. Something needs to be given. I give it. You know, I'm trying to be tender with those around me. I'm trying not to, instead of expressing, getting caught up in my ill will, I'm in a way seeing that, yes, you are offering something positive to others. Because in a way, we have to cultivate the fact that our faith in our own pure heart. And naturally, it's nice, you know, we always say in Buddhism, you all have a pure heart. You know, you always, you know, sometimes I remember getting tired of hearing, I have the Buddha nature. You know, it's like, tell me something new. You know? I may have the Buddha nature, but I'm in a mess. What helps us with that? Well, part of it is that you have to cultivate, you have to kind of cultivate doing good, do the positive things, the sense that I'm giving something. You know, just like when I'm, the classic thing, when people are depressed, often they stop doing anything and they get more depressed and more depressed. And often it's very hard to do when you're in that state, but the thing that frees them is just to give something. So often just even giving something like clean. Do something positive. Go help somebody else. Stop looking just at how am I doing. Because one of the things that liberates us is actually to stop thinking so much about the self. To stop seeing everything through. If you want to know a great way to suffer, it's see all of life through how am I doing. As I'll often say in Buddhism, all our suffering comes from our self-cherishing point of view, from looking at everything with self-centered eyes. And how we do it is by opening our hearts up. When we look around us, no matter how bad we are, the world's full of people who are actually having much more trouble than we are. I can remember remember it was very kind of reassuring when Helmut's wife Linda had an operation, which was pretty horrific, rod replaced in her spine, a metal halo screwed into her skull. And she's kind of lying in the hospital and realizing, just listening to people, she's a lot better off than an awful lot of those people are, who she could just tell were in much more pain than she is. And that's actually not so looking so much, how am I doing? You know, just like most of the time, I don't have any idea how I'm doing. And I try not to think all the time, how am I doing? Am I doing good? Am I doing bad? You just have to see if there's something to give or something good to do. See if you can do it. And just like if there's something wrong, not to do it. But you also have to do the good side. You know, you have to be generous. You know, you have to be willing to give. Because actually, if you're not generous, what you're really saying is, I need everything. I need all my time. I need all my money. I need everything. And you look around. No, there's lots of people who need it more than you do. And often, sometimes you do need it. I mean, you do need things. It's not like, wow, you should be run out of here like a chicken running around. I wanted to use that image. And it got too depressing, so I'll stop it. But I don't want to say that. But you don't want to run around frantically thinking, but you have to look at, sit still. And often we do need rest. We do need, you know, just to get away from people. We do need, but we also need to give ourselves peace by letting go of things and realizing that's what will help. And the real source of the goodness, if you're practicing, we find in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. You know, it's pointing us. There's a good heart that embraces the whole universe. You know, our real body and mind is compassion. Our real life, our real heart feels a connection to everything else. When we're depressed, we're thinking, what's wrong with me? When we open our hearts, there's no barriers. And, you know, there's an intimate relationship with others in a way that deals with that isolation. And that's what we want. The Dharma points us to the truth. It's pointing us to what's real and good. And the fact that, just like I can remember when I first came into Zen, I saw this, you know, there's one of those sayings we used to have calligraphy done of, every day is a good day. And I said, no. This, a lot of my days ain't good days. And I didn't realize that. And it actually took me a long time to understand what that meant, seriously. I mean, I practiced a long time before I could understand that there's good always. It's only if I'm willing to let go, even when things are hellacious, there's something really good filling it. And it's all, the only thing stopping it is I'm holding on to something and I'm saying no to something. And the real enemy in our life is that no. And to clarify that no, that's basically not willing to accept. And that's where our suffering is. Never look for it on the outside. All our suffering comes from saying no to life, for not trusting what's happening to us, for not trusting the unfolding of our karma, and thinking somehow we can't deal with this. And actually, without a positive sense that there's good in your heart, you can't sit still. You have to have faith that if you let go, what's there is good. What there is positive. And often you look at the muck and you think, and what you're telling yourself, this is real, I have this problem. It's like, I'll train really well when I'm a different person, when I solve this problem, when I transform myself. And you have to realize that nothing is binding you. The thing that's binding you is what you're telling yourself. And we have to tell ourselves the Dharma, that everything is the Buddha. And it's, in meditation, actually, the stillness of meditation allows us to be aware of the darkness in our hearts, the wounds, the defilements, the things that seem locked up and blocked. And what we all want to do is free ourselves from that, but it's hard to sit still with it. And one of the things that allows you to sit still is to give in your life so that you strengthen that sense of goodness, the sense that you are a good, basically that you have a good heart. Because in a way, doing good is what allows things to flow, allows you to be, to stop clinging. Because instead of clinging, this is my problem, this is my suffering, or this is the world's suffering, I can't accept this. You are offering. You are being, you're kind of thinking, no, I have something I can give. That's very positive. To think instead, I need. Doing good means I have something I can offer. I can offer others. I have something I can offer myself. I don't have to just think I'm stuck in this dim, dark place. Woe is me. Or as what we used to say at the Abbey, gloom, despair, and misery. That feeling from something or other that, I forgot the source, but we used to say it all the time, kind of this, almost like this, of how you can feel like all this gloom, despair, and misery. And doing good actually takes faith that even though we feel dark and overwhelmed, we can still offer something. We can still give. And doing good actually helps us to do more good. Just like being, think about, we usually, to be honest, most of us understand the dark better than the good. Meaning, because that's more of a problem. Meaning, just like when you have a negative state of mind, it leads to negative states of mind. Positive states of mind lead to positive states of mind. Trusting the Dharma and just letting go of things and trusting that there is no problem. Trusting that no matter what the problem is, it can't really hurt us, which takes faith. And we have to kind of actualize that faith by not saying, wow, I better do everything I can to protect myself. I better make sure this can never happen. When whatever it is, it can happen. Whatever the depressing thing, worry is, it may come to fruition. And what we really want to know is that we'll still be okay. That our heart won't be harmed. So even in the midst of a great fire, our heart will be calm and peaceful and filled with Buddhas. Anyway. And in a way, it's kind of like you think, there's this mass, in Buddhism, they all kind of almost talk like this mountain of karma, which I still find depressing, like all this, karma like that, God, I have all this stuff I have to deal with, this kind of mass of ignorance, shame, guilt, fear, inadequacy. You can throw in a few more if you like, and we wear it away with the good heart that isn't allowing ourselves to get caught up in it, that's allowing us to still, it's just like showing up and practicing no matter how you feel. That's a deep act of faith. Sitting still. I can actually remember one of the most first meditation experiences I had is I spoke to somebody on the phone and I was so upset. And I went and meditated and I suddenly felt, wow, perfectly at peace. And I thought, wow, this really works. that once I stopped holding on to it, because it wasn't really anything, it was just something annoying. Somebody was just behaving in a way that they always annoyed me. A very close relative. Who actually had a good heart, but still managed to annoy me. And meditation in itself is a source of goodness, because it allows us to see through the mass of confusion to a good heart. By trusting that the confusion is not real and the good is real. Because we're really trusting that the Buddha who lived 2,500 years ago and our real heart is the exact same heart. And if you think about that, that's a good deal. That's really nice. And if we trust that, well, then all that other stuff we realize isn't real. Just like I look at some of my own idiocy and I realize it's kind of like a bad dream. Kind of like, why did I do that? Why did I get caught up in that? You should be better people. You should be cultivating good states. You should be more giving, more accepting. Basically, you should be nicer people. And I can remember telling this to some of my family. It's like they kind of went when I was going to be a monk, and they say, "Well, what do you want to do?" I said, "I guess I want to. First of all, I want to do good. Be good." And they go, "Oh, why would anyone what kind of purpose is that? Being good. It's like, oh, it's like, do something with your life. Don't just try to be good." And yet, in a way, we all want to look in the mirror. We all want to see ourselves and like what's there. And it's very depressing when we have to almost, where we don't want to see what's there. We want to pretend we're a different person. Almost like sometimes when I make a mistake, I'll be in a situation and I realize I really blew it and I don't want to kind of admit it. I want to keep it secret. I don't want people to know that I really didn't do what I should do. And part of it, and it allows us to accept ourselves that we're not being perfect, that we do things wrong, but we see in a way that there's a flow of what's positive washing through our lives. And we trust the Dharma that it'll wash everything away. Yeah? Because in a way, it's actually easier often in a way to accept people we don't have that close relationship with. Just like if I met my relatives, most of them I actually would think are very nice people. Yet a lot of them can be very irritating to me because I know them very well. And I also have karma set up with them, that there's wounds set up between us. Things they did, let's say, that bothered me, things I did, and it's, it's like that very thing in a close relationship, where you can accept something in somebody you don't have to deal with very often, but somebody you're living with, those very little things can drive you crazy. It's like a story of that they, we even use it in journal articles at the Abbey, is like two monks are in a monastery where they eat next to each other and they're in silence and they're kind of been eating next to each other for 15 years, and finally one day one monk picks up his soup and pours it over the head of the other monk. And it wasn't based. And the monk goes, "Why did you do that?" He says, "I can't take your slurping anymore." And you know, and that's kind of because those little things will drive you crazy when you realize you have to keep facing it and keep dealing with it. Just like it's very hard to be good with ourselves. You know, often a very basic thing I can say to somebody is they'll describe themselves and what a mess they're in, how awful they're doing. And if you just think, if anyone else described that to them, they would give them usually very good teaching of this is okay, accept that, don't make such a big deal out of it. You really do have a good heart, you know, and give very good teaching, but they can't give it to themselves. You know, because in a way we're so close to, you know, to ourselves. And we have such a thing of built-in guilt, built-in inadequacy, built-in senses of failure. We have, that's our karma often, that we made messes of things. One thing that stops people from training is they actually often don't trust that they can do it. If I ask most people have a secret reason why the Dharma, after they're coming a while, will say, yeah, this all makes sense. The Dharma sounds true. But somehow I think I'm a little bit of an exception. You know, I have this problem, this inadequacy, this reason, this thing that I keep making a mistake in, and I don't believe this will ever wash away. This is who I am. But, and it's hard just to accept. It's hard to really accept and love others. You know, it's why it's hard to do good. We can do some good for others and often give, but often it's still hard, particularly when we have to really confront who the other person is and accept everything about them. And that's really what love is in Buddhism, is where we're embracing the others without question, the way a good mother can embrace a child, where no matter what that child will do, they will love them. You know, that's what a good mother does. And even a good mother doesn't always do it because they're not saints, but still, that's what, you know, that's why, you know, you'll have somebody who's a serial murderer and the mother will be interviewed and says, but he's a good boy. And they mean that because in some ways he is a good boy. He is good. He does have a good heart on some level, just turned a bit. And doing good, both training for ourselves and offering ourselves the practice and also doing good for others, really diminishes the sense of isolation and our self-importance. You know, this feeling, you know, of course when we suffer, we're so trapped into what is happening to me. And we feel so bound by life. And there's something liberating to just letting go and just giving. You know, just dropping it and just saying no. In a way, I can offer myself the stillness of meditation. I don't have to keep lugging around the suffering, this problem, this worry. And actually, I can also help somebody else. I don't have to think, God, I need everything. You know, on this sense of because it's in a way, it's hard to be really deeply depressed and help others. You know, there's something kind of, it's kind of loosening up a little of that block, just to kind of, because in a way it's hard to be as deeply depressed and really open your heart to other what's going on with others. And that's actually kind of liberates us. And it's also, doing good is also just having faith in karma, which often us in the most Westerners in a way don't fully trust. When I break it down to people, don't really fully believe that everything they do has a consequence. So in a way they're almost wondering, it's like if they do good and nothing positive happens, it's like it's lost. When the good, you know, helps and is turning a wheel that will keep turning, even though you don't know when it comes to fruition. And it actually gives us confidence if we really have faith in karma, because we realize that we can do something positive, always. And it's actually doing something real. You know, it's not kind of like, oh, when's this going? We don't have to worry. When's this going to come to fruition? You know, like, is this really doing anything? You know, I keep facing a wall. Is it doing anything? I keep practicing. Is it doing anything? I'm helping. I'm giving in all these ways. Is it really doing anything? You don't have to worry about that. You know, everything offered, every act of doing good is having a positive consequence. Just like, unfortunately, every time we cultivate greed and ill will, it's having a consequence. Every time we act in ignorance, it has a consequence. And in a way, acting in following the Dharma, even if we feel ignorant, the Dharma is pointing us to clarity and the truth. So when we act where we take refuge in the Dharma, even if we feel confused, it's like being on a road map. You just follow the directions. You don't have to figure out how it's going to get you there. You know, somehow you're going to end up home. And you don't need to know, wow, I need to know how this works. You know, how does this whole path get me there? You just have to do good. You just have to take refuge in the Dharma. And true acceptance of karma means we can let go of doing what we often do when we hit suffering, is like, when's it going to change? When am I going to be different? When am I going to feel good? You just trust. You know, in a way, we have to learn not to. Part of the trusting is that we don't have to identify with our thoughts and our feelings. We're trying to sit still and realize they don't matter. The only thing that really matters is to cease from evil and to do good. Period. The fact that we want to do it, we don't want to do it, we feel good, we feel bad, we're full of confusion, we're full of certainty, it doesn't matter. All that matters is taking the right step. Because all that matters is, how soon are we going to be home? And we can't control that, but every act of good helps. And it's taking us back to the Buddha. Every delusion is solidifying a view where we're the center of the world and in which we're going to be bound by suffering. And when we think of good states and their cultivation, the opportunity to do it's everywhere. You know, nothing ever stops you from expressing gratitude. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, bow and be grateful. Whatever you're doing, show respect. Whatever you're doing, be wholehearted. That's a way of doing good. You know, just like I could think of a lot of my work history before I was a monk, even some of it after I was a monk, even some of it now, and I'm not always wholehearted. And that, in a way, is a way of not doing good. You know, in a way, I'm trying to be somewhere else. I'm not trusting that what I want is right here. And that's the source of the good, is just trusting that it's enough to do, to be where we are, doing what we're doing. And in a way, the thing that allows us to find goodness is just right view. You know, what is real? Because all evil just comes out of thinking something that really isn't real is. You know, that eating this is going to make me happy. Having this job will make me happy. What this person thinks about me is going to make me happy. And when you look at it, it's just like a bad dream. It doesn't matter. You know, it has no reality to it. And that's what we want to find, is what is real. And we find that by following what the Buddha taught, right view. It's pointing us to finding what we always are looking for. Because that's what we want in this world of change. We want to find what is real. Real peace. Real freedom. Real joy. And that's always there. The reason we don't find it is we're asking for something else. So doing good is asking for what is real and having faith that it's there and acting like it's there. Because the source of suffering is just that. It's not that you're trying to be bad. You have to have compassion for yourself when you do evil. It's not like it's coming out of evil. It's just ignorance. You really think that matters. You really think that is binding you. You really think that you can't put up with that. That you can't let go of that. And you just have to offer the truth to it. Offer the teaching to the parts of you that are asking for everything else. And trust that the goodness is there. And actually, if we have faith that the next step we're taking is taking us in that truly positive direction, you would think, what's the problem ever? The problem is we doubt that it is. And in a way, there's no obstacle there. The only obstacle is that doubt. That it's not enough just to do this simple act of goodness, to just let go right now. And faith, and all of this begins, you begin Buddhism almost with it like being an intuition. And you practice it, and it develops deeper and deeper into faith and certainty that this works. You know, because it's not like I've had these, you know, boundlessly deep experiences that I can see, wow, everything in the universe is the Buddha and everything is the Dharma. But I know that the Dharma works. And I know when I do it, it works. And when I don't do it, it doesn't. And it's simple as that. And if you train with, you know, as you train, your faith and confidence and certainty just deepens. And that liberates you. You know, just like when somebody is, you know, running a marathon, they're willing to put up with all this pain, feeling like somehow it's okay. And for some reason, it's somehow important to them to run that 26 miles. And they're willing to put up with tremendous amounts of suffering to get that 26 miles in. Hell, what do they get for doing that? Think of what you can get with your training. If you're just willing to have that same confidence that it's worthwhile putting up with that discomfort and not allowing it to move you. Whatever happens, accept it. Sit still with it. Just be willing to let go of the evil and to do the good.